listening to the CCA Podcast.
We're glad to be here this morning, and we're so delighted that you're here with us. This is just such a cool place, a cool space to be able to find God and follow Him together. Amen. We're all about one thing here at Calvary. We say this all the time, and it's important for us to articulate each and every week. We're all about Jesus.
Amen.
Whether it's feeding, clothing, housing, hospitalizing, employing, educating, encouraging, equipping, however we can do it, we're all about helping people, starting here in Seattle and around the world, both find and follow Jesus. We're all about mission. Matthew 28, God commissioned us. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's what we're all about. If we can agree on that this morning, we're off to a really good start. So my name's Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea. We are the lead pastors here, and we look forward to getting to know you just a little bit better. Anything else you want to share with us before we jump in this morning?
No, I think we're good.
Awesome. Love you, baby.
Love you.
Hey, also want to remind everybody one more time again, this is a big priority that we're doing here. It's called Alpha. We had an amazing, as Emma so eloquently told us earlier, we had an amazing turnout yesterday here for the training, the regional training with Christian Downs, our regional director here in Washington. And we're looking forward to this Wednesday. This Wednesday, what do? We train. We train our hosts and our helpers to lead Alpha. Next Wednesday, what do? We launch. Why did you get a couple of these in your bulletins this morning? So you can invite people, neighbors, friends, coworkers, people you have lunch with today. They only come if we invite them. And I want to encourage you, when you invite somebody, don't project a no. Let them make the decision. Okay? Invite somebody and confidently say, hey, we got a new thing called Alpha, free food. We're going to be catering. It's going to be amazing. People, I heard it said, you feed them, they will come. You feed me, I will come. That's all I know. So anyhow, we look forward to seeing and helping people find and follow Jesus through Alpha. Well, I've been in my devotions throughout the Old Testament. I've really been excited because the Minor Prophets in particular is where the Lord has led me in my devotions. And so I've been reading through the Minor Prophets quite a bit. And one of those prophets is Micah. So if you brought your Bibles this morning, I would encourage you to go to the 7th chapter of Micah. This week marks our second week of Love Jesus, Love Seattle sermon series. Love Jesus, Love Seattle. That pretty much sums it up, right? And this morning, the Lord's given me a word. Out of devotions, He's given me a word, and that word is, Jesus, get me out of this. Has anyone ever prayed that prayer? Has anyone ever felt that? Has anyone ever thought that? Right? Jesus, get me out of this. So we're going to be looking at this as the big idea. And mark your Bibles in the 7th chapter of the book of Micah. We're going to see what God will do in spite of. The big idea this morning, you have it in your notes. I invite you to take those out and take notes this morning. We'll have some fill-ins for you. The big idea is, through life's difficulties, Jesus lovingly provides a way of salvation for all who hope in Him. Micah's message, what was it? Let's unpack this together a little bit very quickly this morning. Micah's message is all about the Lord, who is unrivaled when it comes to forgiving sins and loving all people. Micah was an extreme prophet. He was willing to do whatever it took to be heard. Did you know in the first chapter it even references him stripping naked on occasion? Now this morning, don't worry, I plan to keep all my clothes on. But he starts off and he says this. He says, listen, earth, and everyone in it. Do you ever have a hard time listening? Maybe perhaps even now you're thinking of what you're thinking of next and not really even hearing me. Hello. I can say this because I do it all the time. We tend to look inward. We tend to focus here. And we tend to have a hard time hearing, listening. Really listening. You see, what had happened in the book of Micah, selfish idolatry had taken the place of relationship with God. They had stopped listening. They had stopped obeying. And as a result, the people would experience severe consequences, the Bible says. Thankfully, there's a way of hope, and God provided a way out if they would listen and return to him. Reminds me, I remember hearing a story about two friends. The older gentleman of the two friends was so excited because the week prior, he had gone out and he had bought a new hearing aid. $4,000 he had spent on this. He was so excited. He said, this kind of hearing aid, he was explaining it to his friend, is like none other. Oh, I've never been able to hear as good as I can hear now. And he went on and on and on. And his friend was trying to get a word in just to ask, what kind is it? What kind of hearing aid is it? And finally, after this other friend is just telling and explaining of this amazing new device, the friend finds a little space to get in and he says, well, what kind is it? And the friend responds, but, oh, I'll tell you. He says, 1230. I'm glad you laughed. You know, when I was writing this sermon this week, I thought maybe I'm going to have to explain the joke. You know what I'm saying? Because there's some people I told it to, and they're like, what? What kind is it? I don't get it. That's always when you know you have a good joke, is when you have to stop and explain it. So I'm just so delighted that you laughed. At least some of you laughed. Here's what Jesus asks. He says, are your ears awake? Listen. Are you listening this morning? This is a word from the Lord. Jesus provides a way of salvation for Seattle. Number one, in spite of temporary setbacks. I've experienced some pretty bad setbacks in life. Have you? Yeah. I mean, there's some traffic infractions that I've experienced. You know, some that I knew what I was doing and I did it anyway. Anybody with me on that? I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm just going to go ahead and just go through anyway. Or I'm not going to fully come to a stop. I'm just going to kind of, right? The intentional mistakes, intentional setbacks. And then there's some, like the, I told you, some of you the other week when I was driving and I, you know, when I'm in a sports car, I naturally want to drive just a little faster. That's a sports car. That's what you're supposed to do. Unless there's ice and you spin out. Remember that? I don't know if I preached it here in this service here, but I remember telling a few people in our family here about what happened, and that was unintentional setback, where I just all of a sudden find myself spinning out on ice. I hit a block of ice, and I'm out. Or maybe perhaps you had better be able to relate on a job. Have you ever been on a job, and you got fed up, and you just decided, I'm done, I'm out, and you quit? I've had friends where they leave their stuff on their desk. They don't even come back to get their desk. They just, they're out because they don't like their line of work any longer. Right? Intentional setback. Now I got the same bills and mortgage and car payment and all that, but I have no job, right? Intentional setback. Or how about maybe you're on the other side and you were promised a job that would last from now till Jesus returns, and all of a sudden you found yourself betrayed and without setbacks. Some setbacks are from our own doing, while some are from others. All of us indeed have experienced both, right? But there's nothing I've come to realize that sets us back more than sin. Because the Bible says that sin is self-centeredness, and self-centeredness separates and it destroys. Let me say it this way. Paul articulates it in Romans, all through the book of Romans. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us. Any non-sinners in here? Anybody perfect this morning? Can I talk to you if you are? Well, why does that matter that all have sinned? Because the Bible says, and you read further in Romans, that the wages of sin, the result of sin, is death. So what do we do in this? What do we do if we're destined for death? Well, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life. What does that mean? That means that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still messed up, God sent his one and only son to die, to pay the penalty of death for you and me. And then he goes on to say, he says, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, if you invite him into your life, come on in, Lord, I found you, I'm going to follow you. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. What does that mean? You believe that there's supernatural power. You believe God can do the impossible. Then it says you will be saved. Because Paul very clearly says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, Israel's despair in the book of Micah was due to her selfishness, her greed, her idolatrous sin. Could it be, I'm wondering this morning, could it be, think with me, people's unhappiness in our city is due to being self-centered and separated from Jesus? Could it be? I love the voice of hope in the middle of a situation and scenario as such. Micah's creed in crisis, I call it. And this is our memory verse this week. Every week we have a memory verse. In your bulletin, you'll see on the back, it says this, "But as for me," read this with me, would you? "I watch in hope." Try it again. Are you awake? Are your ears awake? Read this with me. Yes. "But as for me," read it real loud. "I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me." What's after your "but as for me"? In your life, just where you're at, with your kids, with your grandkids, with your situation, with your health, with your finances. "But as for me," ... "But as for me, I would accept," but Pastor Ryan, "I'm anxious and I'm worried and I'm a little bit afraid. I but as for me, I would accept." Or, "But as for me, I'm going to pray through it." "But as for me, I'm going to hope through this situation. But as for me, I'm going to trust. But as for me, Jesus, get me out of this." I want to encourage you, as you "but as for me" watch, and as you "but as for me" hope, and as you "but as for me" wait for God, your Savior, I want to give you some advice this morning. Don't try to take God's matters into your own hands, because we can do that, right? I'm waiting, but it's been a long time. Imagine Israel, 400 years in slavery in Egypt, plus. "But as for me," imagine, how long have you been waiting, right? Don't take the matters into your own hand. Keep waiting. Keep standing in faith. Keep believing. "Jesus, get me out of this." I want to encourage you, make mistakes learnedly. If you're anything like me, man, every day, we can wear the guilt of mistake? It's very easy for me to just take it on and wear the guilt of "I should have, would have, could have. Man, I could have preached that different," or "Man, I missed that point," or "Man, I can't believe I said that," or "Man, I can't," I mean, you know, but make mistakes learnedly. Mistakes, I tell my kids, aren't all that bad as long as you learn, grow, and glean from them and move forward. I call it failing forward. Learning from our faults, learning from our slip-ups, learning from our offenses. Why are there so many Bible stories and narrative stories that are in the Bible? So we can learn, so we can pick it up. But if we don't read it, we'll never learn from what we can. "Because I have sinned," Micah says, "because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath." That's a hard place to be. Because we can't really know God's justification if we don't know his justice. We can't really know his mercy and grace if we don't know his judgment. So he says, I have sinned against him. I will bear the Lord's wrath until," there's a little word in there, until "he pleads my case and establishes my right." Jesus, get me out of this. Jesus, this morning, get me out of this. I've learned that if you can say, "I'm sorry," from your heart, not lip service, you're promised Jesus as the defense attorney on your case, pleading before God's judgment. But it's the if factor. John says it this way, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will what? What's that word? Forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Micah said it this way. He said, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression?" Wow. Who is there like you? Who is there like God who can do that? Who can wipe your slate clean? What? So some of us this morning are saying, yes, I've been a Christian a long while, and I've heard these things, and I know this. Be careful, Christians. Be careful, because like me, you can just, it can be nonchalant, and you just go, you just live, you just get into a routine, and you forget how good God is. Who is a God like you? Who can wipe my slate clean? Who can forgive my faults? Take away my guilt? Jesus, get me out of this. I want to give those fairly new Christians, those who are new to the faith, I want to help you this morning. Let me give you a simple prayer. It's in your notes. Number one, sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Learn to confess. Learn to know how to say I'm sorry. Those in relationships, those single in the building, let me help you. Let me help you as you're looking for a relationship. Learn to say I'm sorry from your heart. At my wedding, I had somebody very wise come up to me, and he says, I want to tell you two words that are going to save your marriage. Time and time again, he says, look into my eyes. And I'm busy looking at the cake and my beautiful wife and trying to. And he says, look here. Are you listening? Are your ears awake? He says, here's the two words. I'm sorry. Write it down. Write it down, Ryan, right now. Write it down. I mean, he was very direct. Sorry. What is that confession? Lord, I'm sorry. I did it this morning, 5 a.m. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not trusting you when I should. I'm sorry for saying things the way I shouldn't have yesterday in that conversation. I'm sorry. And I'll go down the list. It's confession. It's good for the soul. It gets it off of you, and it gives it to God. You know, he wants your sins. He wants you to pile them on him. He just give it to him. Just give it to him. Is there anyone else in your life who wants all your junk? Let me introduce you to him. His name is Jesus. He's a really cool guy. If you talk to him and get to know him just a little bit, he'll take all your stuff. He'll take it all and he'll wipe it away. I'm sorry. Number two, please. Simple prayer. Please. Please, God. Please help me. Please. Please, Lord. Please change my heart to want what you want me to want. Nothing more, nothing yet, nothing less. Yes and amen. Please. And then number three, thanks. Thanks, Lord. Thanks for your provision. Thanks for making a way where there seemed to be no way. Thank you, Jesus, for getting me out of this. Even though I may still be in it, you're helping me in my mind. You're transforming how you're helping me reframe my situation and circumstances. Thank you, Jesus, in advance for what you will do. In spite of setbacks this morning, church, I want to encourage you with Jesus. You can still live hopeful. Jesus, get me out of this. Jesus provides a way of salvation for Seattle. Number one, in spite of our temporary setbacks. Number two, in spite of active opposition. Is there such a thing as a day without problems? Oh, man. Problems. Do you have them? I got a few. Craig Rochelle says it this way. He says, problems are opportunities in disguise. Yeah, I've learned that every problem has a solution. Every solution is found in God. Therefore, problems are an opportunity to find God. I heard this story of a Northeast codfish company, and they were trying everything they could to get the codfish from one side of the country to the other. They tried everything. They tried freezing it, but when they freeze it, the flavor wasn't the same when it got there. And they tried putting it in fresh seawater, and maybe if we just keep it the whole way, that didn't work because it got mushy, and that affected the flavor, and that didn't work. And then one day, somebody came up with an idea, and they said, well, let's do this. Let's drop some opposition in the container with the live codfish. I said, what do you mean? Let's drop a catfish in there and see if that thing gets there. And did you know that the opposition that was seemingly working against the codfish actually worked in its favor, because the codfish then was alert and active and was readily available for anything that happened? Are you facing a catfish in your life right now? Has something been dropped in your container right now that is keeping you, I mean, you're on alert like you've never been alert before? Maybe it's pain. I can't ignore that. You know, maybe it was the driver on I-5 on the way in. Did you run across a catfish maybe this week in your job at your work? Maybe your spouse. No, maybe we shouldn't go there. That's dangerous to start talking about. But what are you facing that is seemingly working against you, but is actually being used to make you stronger and better? And the end product of what God wants to do in your life can only happen not by freezing you over, not by putting you in a normal situation or circumstance, but by pressing the envelope and putting something there in your life. Jesus, get me out of this. Can God use the catfish that you face to better you? Is the problem that you think is against you, is it really working for you? I've learned that in the midst of conflict and oppositional pushback, if I can just keep my eyes on Jesus, if I can just spend some time with him, if I can just have the presence of mind to stay alert in my thinking, to meditate on his word, to keep the focus where the focus needs to be, to surround myself with a church and a congregation and a community that will help me grow and fulfill the purpose and will God has in my life. Micah's challenging message points to Jesus, his hope. This is what this morning is all about. What does he do? He says, he will stand and shepherd his flock. This prophetic word points to the Savior Jesus. Who is the he? Jesus. Jesus will stand and will shepherd his flock, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Now, as we read this scripture again, I want, if you can, let this scripture read you. He, Jesus, will stand with me, and he will shepherd me. I will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of Seattle, and he will be my peace. Can we live at peace while swimming in opposition? Can we live in peace while things are seemingly working against us? When numbers and finances or numbers, however you may look at them as we approach tax season, aren't working in your favor? Can you swim in peace when you're not working a job you want? Can you swim in peace? This scripture points to Jesus, and Jesus is hope. Let me help you live without peace. Let me preach this for a minute. Don't slow down, ever. And some of us, we immediately, we just dismiss that, well, I don't have a problem slowing down. Well, do you? What's going on up here? Because I've learned that I can be perfectly still and appear to be at peace, but up here, I'm going a million miles an hour. I'm more anxious than anxious knows how to say. How to live without peace. Never slow down. Never. Don't slow down. Another way to not live with peace, don't listen to anyone else. I've learned this over and over, man. Well, I know it's best. No, you don't. how to live without peace, don't listen to anyone else. And number three, stress about everything all the time. Oh, man, anxiety. What is anxiety? Anxiety is mixed emotions. It's knowing the truth and feeling another way and letting it just divide. Anxiety literally is divided thinking, mixed emotions, paralyzed will. Anybody ever had a hard time making a decision? Going to dinner? Where are we going to eat? You go back and forth an hour. Picking a movie to watch? You go back. You know, I mean, divided thinking, mixed emotion, paralyzed will. Anxiety. Stress. Stress about everything. If you don't want peace in your life when the news comes on, let it ruin your day. Stress about everything. On the way out, if somebody took your parking spot, get angry and stay angry all day. Stress about everything at lunch when they don't bring your coffee hot like you want it. Get ticked off and don't tip them well and make a point and get angry. Stress about everything. Really? I can get excited like that because I do that all the time if my latte isn't right. Come on. Come on. Jesus, our Savior, our hope, get me out of this. The enemy wants nothing more than to stress you out. He wants to stress you out of hope. He wants to stress you out of joy. He wants to stress you out of peace, out of living God's best. How does he do it? He actively opposes you. He actively opposes you, and he does not want you to do two things. He does not want you, as the psalmist said, to trust the Lord and do good. If he can get you to stop trusting in the Lord, if he can get you, as the scripture says here, it'll be put up, to stop doing good, yes, he's got you right where he wants you. Here's my encouragement this morning. Don't give him the time of day. Starting in your mind, trust in the Lord, the psalmist said, and do good. David, King David, is the one who authored this. David, you know, he had some catfish in his life. The battles he went through, the narrative, read it all through the Psalm, read it through the Chronicle, read it, and you'll hear that, man, this guy had some serious catfish. My dad, maybe you're like my dad, you've been through cancer. My dad's been through it three times. That's a pretty big catfish. And you know the coolest part of his narrative? This is how I want my narrative to read, that regardless of what my body actively opposes me with, I'm going to trust in the Lord, and I'm going to do good. And when I'm in that hospital, I'm going to make jokes about myself, and I'm going to use it as a witness to tell somebody about Jesus. What? I'm going to pray for people who come in to pray for me. What? Or maybe you're like me, you're living with diabetes, type 1 diabetes, or some other debilitating disease, and the enemy would have nothing more than to stress you out about managing what you have to manage physically in your life, emotionally in your life, relationally in your life. He wants to stress you out and he wants to get you anxious, but do not give him the time of day. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to stand firm. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning as aches, pains and all, and you're going to wake up and you're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for another day. I trust in you, and you know what? Today I'm going to do good. When my coffee doesn't come, I'm still going to tip them 22-23%. Hey, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to do good. When people cut me off, I'm going to maybe just say a little prayer for them. I'm going to trust you, Lord, that you know what's going on, and whatever swims up against me and opposes me actively, I don't really care. It hurts. It's no fun, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do good. Micah said, I'm sitting in the dark right now, but God is my light. I want to encourage you, trust requires unanswered questions. How long have you been sitting in the dark on this one? Trust requires unanswered questions, and doing good requires selfless generosity. Reminds me of the morning I was coming back from working out, and I was in a funk. Let me tell you, I was in a funk. I had listened to my podcast. I had done devotions. I had prayed. I mean, I was, come on, I'm an hour and a half invested in this thing, and come on, I'm still feeling funky. I'm just depressed and angry, and I was upset, and then all of a sudden, as I pass by McDonald's, I see two homeless people. This was on New Year's Day. Pass by McDonald's, I see two homeless people, and I get this sense. A lot of us in here wonder, we've asked the question, how do I know it's God, if I've heard God? Well, you have a sense inside, and you know that you need to do something. Okay? That's one way I hear from God. It's a sensing in me. It's a knowing in my knower. Okay? And I get this sensing, you need to go buy breakfast. I'd already passed, and I go, you know, I'm kind of dealing with some stuff. I talk back, you know, we converse. And I'm kind of dealing with some stuff, Jesus, and I'm kind of hoping you can get me out of this mindset, because I really don't feel like doing that. And again, it was a sensing, turn around, go buy him breakfast. So I did, because I've not done that before. I've been disobedient, and that's no fun. Don't do that. Here's some advice, don't do that. And so I turn around, I go back, and I get him some sandwiches and large coffees, and go to the first individual and I look them in the eye, and then all of a sudden, as I'm looking into their soul, they're not an object of frustration. They're a person to love. That happens when you look somebody in the eye. It doesn't happen when you look over their head, or when you pass by, you don't give them a time of day, or when you ask them, how are you, and you don't really mean it. It doesn't happen then. It happens when you slow down and you look them in the eye and you say, I don't know if I'm the first one to tell you this, but Happy New Year. Jesus loves you, and so do I. And you should see the look like, are you talking to me? Like, people don't talk to me like that. People look over me. Have you ever felt like that, where people just look over you? Can you feel? I saw myself and my friend. And then the next friend who was there with her baby. Yeah. Cold morning. Let me get you a cup of hot coffee and tell you that Jesus loves you. I'm talking about trusting God and doing good. See, there's a lot of people out in our great city who are sitting in the dark right now, but God is still their light. There's a lot of people out in our great city who are struggling. And they need somebody to tell them, I love you. See, hope raises up. Hope raises up because Micah says, don't gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Would you say those three words with me? Say, I will rise. Say it again. I will rise. One more time. I will rise. Hope provides a way. See, I'm down, but I'm not out. I love this paraphrase, how it reads. It's not forever. He's on my side, and he's going to get me out of this. Jesus, get me out of this. It's not forever. Some of us need to hear this morning, it's not forever. He's going to get, listen, well, I don't know when, I don't know how, but his word says there's hope, okay? If hope has a name, scripture points to him from the first to the last, from the first, from the beginning, from the Genesis to the Revelation. If hope has a name, that name is Jesus. Jesus, get me out of this. Church, can you trust Jesus enough to believe his word? Come on. Can you trust him with what you're in the middle of what you're in? Whoever can hear my voice in here this morning, can you trust? Here's my challenge this morning. Can you trust God enough? Can you trust Jesus enough to believe his word? Because Micah says, you'll stay true to your word. I love that. You'll stay true to your word. I don't have time to read it all, but I have to flip there. Psalm 22. And the 22nd Psalm, this is a psalm that's quoted rapidly, repeatedly throughout the New Testament Gospels. And you'll hear parts of this scripture that you've heard in the New Testament before, like the first verse, Psalm 22. And I would encourage you to read through this psalm this week in your devotions. This is a messianic psalm of David. And you know what this psalm does? It points to hope. It points to Jesus. Listen to the first verse. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22:1. Where have we heard that? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praises of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted you, and you delivered them. He goes on and on and on. You go down to the 16th verse where he says, dogs have surrounded me. I got some active opposition happening all around me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and feet. What is this pointing to? This is pointing to who? Jesus. I can count on my bones. People stare and gloat over me. Imagine how Jesus felt on that cross. Think with me about how he felt on that cross. As they divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. As he's there naked, bleeding to death on a cross. And in this psalm points to Jesus. And it goes on. You'll have to continue reading more. And it ends here by saying this. It says, they will proclaim his righteousness. There's hope here in this psalm. It says, they will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. For a people yet unborn. Do you realize how many thousands of years ago this was written? And he's talking about you? Wait, hold up, huh? No, let the scripture read you this morning. Don't just flip through it. When you do devotions this week, take that. Let the scripture read you as it says, to a people yet unborn in 2020. For he has done it. He has done what? He stayed true to his word. He stays true to his word. Do you believe God's word this morning? Jesus provides a way of salvation for Seattle. Number one, in spite of temporary setbacks. Number two, in spite of active opposition. And number three, because of his incomparable love. The other day I came home. Incomparable love. The other day I came home and I said hi to all the kids. I said hi to Linnea, my beautiful wife. And I shouldn't say all the kids. I said hi to everyone except Lily. And I was wondering, where's Lily? Where'd she go? So I go around the house and I try to find her. And all of a sudden, I find her. You know where I found her? She was laying face down in the carpet, hiding underneath the kitchen table. I said, what are you doing? And I got down on her level. It wasn't the most comfortable thing for me to do. But she matters that much. And I kind of slid in there. And I said, baby girl, what's going on? You can tell me anything. And so she told me, you know what she said? Because I went across the other side of the street, and I didn't And I just looked at her and I said, I know. I get it. I've been there. Have you ever felt like that? Come on, we have a lot of intelligent people in here. Do you think this is fun for me to even be laying here on the ground like this right now? Do you really think this is, you know, that? Come on. But how many people have felt like that? Seriously. Where you're just, God, I just, right? I mean, we've all had days like that, right? Come on. And you know what I told her? I told her what I always tell her. I says, baby girl, you're mine. And you know what? You're super smart. You're super talented. You're super pretty. And most of all, you're super duper loved. Daddy loves you. And little bit by little bit, I began to pull her out. I began to get her out from underneath that mess. And then we hugged. I don't know about you, but I need a hug this morning. Jesus, get me out of this. I don't know where you're at. You may be in a moment. And you know what? He comes right in to your situation. And he tells you, don't you ever forget, you're super duper loved. But what do you do when you're doing the right thing and the wrong thing keeps happening, Pastor Ryan? You listen to Micah, who said, as in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them my wonders. What does that have to do with anything? Because Egypt, if you read in the history of Israel, oh my word, the bondage and the slavery for hundreds of years. And Micah points and he says, remember? Remember what he saved you from? Remember what he brought you through? Remember who he is in your life? You're super duper loved. So Jesus, I'm looking to you yet again. Get me out of this. He articulates Egypt's narrative. He says, he's done it before. God's done it before, and he can do it again. And similarly, this morning, I believe and declare that Jesus' love, his incomparable love, will provide a way of hope for you and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and all of us in this room, and an entire city of people who are under the table with their faces in the carpet screaming, ah, help. And the Father wants to use you to get on your head, just to buy somebody a McGriddle, just to buy somebody a cup of coffee. This isn't the most comfortable. I didn't sign up for this today. I'm dealing with my own garbage. But Jesus, get me out of this. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep doing good. If he's led you to it, my friends, he'll lead you through it. Scripture says it again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and it's because of his incomparable love. My Father, Jesus says, if there's any way, get me out of this. Jesus even prayed this prayer. And he follows it up by saying, but please, not what I want you. What do you want? And I want to say this, when you're enduring an Egypt, when you're enduring your cross, when you're going through things that you're hoping to get out of, be encouraged. The scripture says, do not lose heart. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. In other words, don't be intimidated by the catfish. You're going to get there. You're going to get to the other side. Listen to me, I'm telling you, it's possible. Take heart. There's hope, Jesus. So we look to Micah, and I close with this. Remember the prophet. Remember his name, Micah. Who like Yahweh? His name literally means who is like the Lord. Think of Micah and how he echoes God's sovereignty and eternal love. Micah says it best. He says, you, God, you will again. Say that word with me. Say again. Oh, I like that word. I really like that word. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Again and again and again and again and again and again and again. There's somebody in here who needs to hear again. You are going to show me your compassion again as you face a new challenge again and again and again and again. His love goes on and on and on and on, and it's incomparable. It's incomparable when you read the first half of Micah, what they had done, the mistakes they had made, the state of travail and hurt and pain and everything they were brought on themselves. And again, he will show his compassion. Again, if I need to get under that table, I'll do it a million times in one day if I have to. Because it's incomparable love. From the 8th century BC, when this was authored, to 2020 in Seattle, Jesus' love saves. His love saves. I close with this. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who what? Who forgives all your sins. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and incomparable compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds really, really good. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. There it is again. He's going to remind you over and over what he's done. If he's done it before, he'll do it again. If he's led you to it, he'll lead you through it. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Thank you, Jesus. Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so great he removed our transgressions from us. As far as a father has compassion on his children, as Ryan gets under the table with Lily, as a father has compassion, Jesus, on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. On those who fear him? No. Not like this. And those who keep him first place in their life. Those who keep God first place and respect him as number one. Those who fear him the Father. Incomparable love this morning. Jesus provides a way of salvation for all Seattle in spite of temporary setbacks, in spite of active opposition, and because of his incomparable love. If you keep God number one in your life, if you keep him in first place in your life, I believe and I declare today, as the scripture promises, there's hope and there's salvation for you. Jesus, my prayer this morning, get me out of this.
Will you pray with me? Father, we just thank you so much for your incomparable love. God, when we're saying, Jesus, get me out of this, you're saying, but Linnea, I want to work in you through this. Thank you, God, that whatever happens in our life is meant for our good and it's meant for an ultimate greater good. And God, we relinquish ourselves from our plan and cast ourselves into your hands for your plan. Now, with eyes closed, if this message touched you today and you've never made that full decision of, I want to follow you, Jesus. I know for me, I was a good person on the outside and I was doing all the right things, but there was something disconnected and missing in my life. And it was really surrendering to Jesus once and for all. And if you feel that tug in your heart where I've never really crossed over the bank and said, yes, Jesus, I'm all in with you. This is your chance. You can do that. Now, with all eyes closed, we want to make this a moment that's just for you to respond. We're not looking around. If you feel that in your heart and you want to say yes to the Lord for the first or second or rededicate your life, go ahead and raise your hand so I know who to pray for. I see that. Yes, Lord, thank you. We see that, and the Lord sees that even more so. And you can put your hands down. Now for today, if you're in a situation where, yes, I have accepted the Lord into my heart, I do live for you, but Jesus, get me out of this. You know the struggle and the situation I'm in, and I need just some additional prayer. Can you just put your hands up and we'll pray for you too? Yeah, hands everywhere. That's okay. So, Father, you see all these hands and you see these hearts that are saying yes to you for different reasons. For those who are saying, I want to accept you into my heart, for would everyone pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I've been going my own way and I'm a sinner and I need you desperately. Would you come into my heart? Would you please cleanse me of my unrighteousness? And Lord, would you give me a new life with you? I confess you as Lord and Savior, and I want to live for you. Please help me today and every day. Amen. And Lord, I pray also for our friends who raise their hands saying, God, get me out of this. You know the situation I'm in. Father, thank you that what claims to be over our head is truly under our feet. Thank you, Lord, that we don't walk this life alone. But God, you go before us. You are behind us. You completely surround us like a shield. Thank you that we can count on you. And thank you, Lord, for your great mercy and love that surrounds us and that you keep us in your care. God, we cling to that and we lean into that. Even when we're not feeling it, even when the situation on the outside looks different, God, we choose to see with spiritual eyes to know that you're working in the background for our good. We believe that with our whole heart. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen.